Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Winchester Radio. Tonight we're going to be talking about the 20th episode of the 9th season titled Bloodlines. We do not have a guest this evening, so in just a little bit, we're going to be taking calls so we can talk about the episode. Maybe you've got comments or questions. This was a slight aberration for Supernatural. It was what they call a backdoor pilot for a spinoff. Lots to talk about. It was written by Andrew Dabb and directed by Robert Singer. And there were several cool things about this episode. They got to come to the United States. Action actually film here. They were talking about Chicago, and they were actually in Chicago, which is really cool. By the way, I'm Susan, and I'm here with Becky tonight. We're going to be talking about the episode, and Vinny, our usual other podcast host, is at the convention in Washington, D.C. So maybe we'll hear from her, maybe not. You should definitely be following Winchester Bros on Twitter, so you'll be getting her tweets and pictures. She's going to be able to take pictures too, Becky, or just tweet.
She's gonna try and get everything she can.
That sounds great, because I think it's going to be a great time.
She didn't get into D.C. Her flight was late today, so she didn't get in till this evening, so she wasn't able to tweet anything yet today, but she'll be there all the whole rest of the weekend.
Very cool. Okay, Bloodlines, a good thing. It was fun to see Chicago, great city. Some of the sets looked amazing, you know, Jerry Wanick and Serge and everybody. It was, I think, pretty much all Supernatural crew, writers, all new actors, except, of course, for Jared and Jensen, who, I didn't mean to start being negative right this early, but every time Sam and Dean walked in, it was just a reminder of how amazing the original Supernatural is compared to what I believe Bloodline would be. Someone did just a hilarious recap with pictures on LJ, and they had a cap of when Dean and Sam first walk in that they're FBI agents' badge, and the caption was, "Hi, we're here to make you look bad." and without even trying and without even meaning to, what are some other good things?
Okay,
we got a call at the end. Found Metatron, that's a good thing.
Okay, I'll tell what I liked about it. I thought it looked gorgeous. I mean, you know, it just looked really, really good. Of course, you know, it's our Supernatural crew, so of course it did. But I really, really liked seeing the scenes of Ennis when he was outside there in Chicago. I don't know the name of that area, but I've seen it in 50 million movies and TV shows. There were the ferries and the river, that area.
Mm-hmm.
I love those scenes, because it's like telling you, yes, we're actually in Chicago, you know. And it looked great. It looked fantastic. I liked the actors. Several of them were from Pretty Little Liars, which I thought was funny. Bryce Johnston, I've been a big fan of him since Popular. I don't know if anybody remembers that show. It was a Ryan Murphy show from back in the 90s before he did Glee or anything. It's hilarious. You got to watch it. It's for nothing else than Mary Cherry. Mary Cherry is a great character. But Bryce Johnston was on that. So I've been a fan of his for a long time. And then he was also a bad guy on Pretty Little Liars. And I love seeing him in this. He was Sal Lasseter, the shapeshifter who got killed. So I'm hoping, just because he's killed, maybe we're still going to see him. I don't know. I was, disappointed he got killed. Nathaniel Fazalek. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I liked him when he was on the originals. He was also on Pretty Little Liars, and I liked him on Pretty Little Liars as well. And this one, I thought his acting was a little stilted, maybe. I know he can do better, so I've got my hopes up. Lucien Lavitskaun, who played Ennis, my absolute favorite of the newbies. I really liked his character. I'm looking forward to seeing what else he's going to do. Stephen Martinez, who is Freddy Costa, the police officer. I like him. Sean Ferris, who was Julian Duvall, the main werewolf guy. He was also on Pretty Little Liars. It's like he went to Pretty Little Liars and took all their hot guys and moved them over here. And I like him. But then, you know, I get down to when the show first started, I was really excited. I was the first few minutes, I was like, I like this. This is good. And as the show kept going on, I was like, I'm bored. You know, I'm sorry, I'm bored. And
I think it was much more like the CW's, and I hate to pick on the CW, but they have a formula and it works for them. And Supernatural's always been the aberration, the black sheep of the CW family, because it's usually a group of pretty actors, and usually they're talented as well as being pretty. But there's love stories going on. There's a lot more, I'll call it soap opera, just as a little bit of a shorthand, but I like soap operas. I'm not insulting them, but we're not used to a Supernatural-related show being a soap opera and having those elements of drama and family against family and then a love triangle or a forbidden love and that sort of thing. Also, the mob and five families, which is appropriate for Chicago, but it's also a big part of General Hospital. There's big mob family thing on there, so it reminded me a little bit of that too. It's such a big deal apparently in Chicago that there are five different families of monsters, and there's going to be some sort of war, and they're shapeshifters and werewolves and Jin and everything else. I'm like, Sam and Dean have been to Chicago before. Death seems to like Chicago. He's a pretty big persona in the Supernatural universe, and nobody's known about these mob families before, and if they did, would Sam and Dean ever have left Chicago until they were all wiped out or taken care of?
You know, the Hunters would know about it. You know, it would go through the Hunter Network, mm-hmm. and they would know about it, and Sam, it would have come down to Sam and Dean. So, yeah, that was a huge thing I had. It's like, you know, If Chicago is being run by monsters, how come nobody else knew about it? And there were lots of other things like that I was like had problems with. Since when can shapeshifters change without shedding skin?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that was weird. I guess we've seen that before, because there is a little bit on Super Wiki about that, but I don't know. It's not what we're used to, so I'm not sure if they're exactly a supernatural shapeshifter. They could be something else or doing it a different way or whatever, but
if I'm wrong about it, I will admit it, but I personally don't remember seeing it. And mm-hmm. the thing when Sal wiped his hands to his hair to change his hair color,
mm-hmm.
At first I thought, oh, that's really cool. Then I thought, oh, wait, I've seen that before, like 20 years ago in The Craft, you know. And
yes.
And then also I was like, and since when can shapeshifters just do that, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they can just change at will all the time. And
mm-hmm.
so, and then, which is the problem I had with sharp teeth, werewolves changing at will. You know, what happened to the good old days? You know, I'm a classicist. I like the full moon, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
and that was a central part of a Supernatural episode, a longtime favorite, Heart with Madison. So we've seen werewolves before, and they could not change at will. The only way I would possibly accept that, and I don't think it's the case here, is if it was the werewolf alpha.
Like in Sharpie, we learned that Garth's wife's family, they were within the four generations. You know, we learned in Bitten, and they showed it again in Sharp Teeth, that within the four generations from an alpha or whatever it was, that it can change at will. But then Garth, who was just bit by some random werewolf, he could also change at will, which we saw in that episode. So that totally, you know, kind of blew that theory out, you know,
right.
the water. And then so I'm probably going with, since the werewolf family is a big, major part of this whole mobster family running Chicago thing, I guess they're probably within that four generations, and that's probably why they can do it. But it'd be nice if they would tell us.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's like,
Yeah, and I'm a little shifty eyes about all that stuff, and I understand that. You know, after 9 seasons, you got to kind of push at your canon a little bit, I guess. But still, it's like, you know, Supernatural fans are very knowledgeable about their show, and they know when something is not right. And, yes, if you're going to change something or push the boundaries of it, you better explain why it works and have it a logical progression or a logical change.
And then the other thing, as much as I like Ennis, I think he could be a really interesting character. I also hate that they basically made him Sam Winchester 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's becoming a hunter because his girlfriend got killed, which, you know, we know Sam was a hunter beforehand, but he, in the pilot, he got back into hunting because Jessica was killed. And then at the end of the episode, oh, look, Ennis has a missing father. You know?
Whoa, yeah. Okay, where was that before? And I understand, they wanted to make something familiar, but you can't be so similar. You're like, oh, it's just like the other, you know, and that's, it's reductive, and why bother to go to the new version when you still have the wonderful old version, the historic version of Supernatural. So, yeah, and I thought Ennis's girlfriend, despite being, like, supposedly attacked her all at the end, I thought she died kind of boring. I mean, there's no more iconic image in Supernatural than Mary Winchester, and later Jessica dying, stuck to the ceiling, gutted, blood dripping on Sam's face, and then everything burst into flames. Ennis's girlfriend died because she, like, hit the wall too hard, and that's a terrible thing, of course.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to follow the Supernatural mythology here and characteristic of their usual work, it was like, she hit the walls, so what? You know?
Sam and Dean hit walls every week.
And bounce right off.
Right.
So,
I understand they wanted to make it to where it was an accident so they could have that conversation at the end when the human killer guy, you know, tells Ennis that it was an accident. But couldn't they have made the accident more, you know, like, as he throws her his Freddy Krueger hands, you know, kind of cut her chest or her stomach or something, instead of just hitting a wall.
Yeah. Also, I didn't think it was that big a deal that the killer turned out to be a human. Well, so what? that can come later on if they ever want to do that. And sometimes man is the worst monster, but if you really want to establish your own mythology, have the entity that sends, you know, Ennis down the hunter road, the real monster. So he's got a reason to stay a hunter. And because his revenge tale is basically over at the end when he kills Freddy Krueger, for lack of a better name. And that was another thing that was, and thank goodness I think Dean mentioned Freddy Krueger, because otherwise it was like the elephant in the room. Just like him. Talk about him looking like Freddy Krueger. And that was another thing that bothered me, and it's actually been in Supernatural too over the last couple seasons. It's so much easier to just kill the human than this guy's a cop. Why didn't he arrest him? Try. You know, it was like he just gunned him down in cold blood.
And it's just a cop. I didn't catch that.
I'm pretty sure he is. He mentioned.
I think it's his dad that was the cop. I don't think he is. I could be wrong because I only watched it twice, and the first time I watched it, I was barely paying attention. But I could be wrong. But I thought they were saying that his father was a cop, but not necessarily him.
That I remember, and they showed a picture of him and anything and everything. But I did think that Ennis was one as well. But I could be wrong. You know, I mean, it would be the first thing that wasn't 100% clear here. There was another thing that a line of dialogue that bugged me. So the character itself I actually liked, because he actually had some personality, was Julian the werewolf.
Uh-huh.
And he's in the bar, and I think he says to Sal something about Sal or something, what he wants, and he says, well, I want to eat Taylor Swift's heart, but we can't always get what we want, and change a couple of words, and exactly what Dean's dialogue was to Ruby when he says, well, I want you to shut your pie hole, but we can't always get what we want. I'm like,
right.
That's, again, it's like a very iconic line of dialogue, and could just say pretty much the same thing. It's like, no. No. Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, because Ennis is supposed to be the hero, is probably why I really liked him. But I agree with you that Julian, his character, seems the most interesting. Even though he, you know, what he says to his sister was pretty rough. But
yeah, that's another thing. I mean, the women, you know, one was, you know, they're bitch and whore and all that. I'm like, oh, even Supernatural does that sometimes. And I know it was to use the joke of her being a werewolf dog, female dog's bitch, blah, blah. But, yeah, I could have lived without that. But speaking of Violet, who was the werewolf in love with the shapeshifter, you know, Starcraft, She's caught at the end by Freddy, and she waits all that time to wolf out and get herself loose. She could have been loose in 2 seconds. The guy was a human.
I assumed, and this is just, again, I watched it twice, and the first time I wasn't paying very close attention. I assumed that she didn't wolf out until he started attacking. Was it David, the other guy, the shipper guy? Until he started attacking him, and that's the anger in her made her wolf out. That's what I got from it.
But you think she'd be pretty angry at being kidnapped by a guy who's probably trying to kill her, so you think that would be enough to get her going and rescue
some
herself.
Some people get upset with kidnapping. Some people don't. You know, maybe she's used to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, Sam and Dean are kind of used to it. They don't like it, but they are used to it. It was another reminder to me of how just what a lightning strike of Supernatural got with Jensen and Jared, of Sam and Dean.
Right, exactly. Because when the pilot aired, boom, it caught me, and which I'm sure it did everybody, you know, who watches it. It's like, oh my God, this is freaking amazing! You know, I'm going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And this one, not so much. But I will admit that backdoor pilots tend to not be that great. because, you know, they are, you know, part of a different show starting out, so they have to have a combination of both. They have to have part of the original show, and then they have to give you tons of information on the new show within the episode. So I will admit that backdoor pilots tend to pretty much suck. The only backdoor pilot I can remember that really liking was the one for The Finder, which, you know, as you know, Susan, I love that show. Got canceled. Mm-hmm. I love that show. And it had a backdoor pilot in Bones. The episode of Bones that was its backdoor pilot is so good and probably better than most Bones episodes are. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that's probably the only backdoor pilot I can remember really liking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you said, it's tough to do any pilot. There's so much you need to get done, and you got to be enough to bring people back and introduce everything, and it is really hard. But, well, speaking of spinoffs and things that can help a spinoff be a success, I mean, I know they have not always been there, but it helps to have characters from the original show move to a spinoff, like the originals were some of those characters were on Vampire Diaries long enough for people to get to know them, so they were a step ahead when they got their own show. One of my absolute favorite shows was a spinoff, and that was Angel off of Buffy. Mm. I ended up loving Angel even more than Buffy sometimes.
Yes,
I mean, that
me
was a
too.
Big success.
Yes, and they brought with them Angel and Cordelia.
And
I totally agree. Angel is, I love both of them dearly, but Angel is by far my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really worked. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they don't always have to bring a character over. NCIS was a backdoor pilot itself. It was introduced on JAG, but I believe none of the JAG characters went with NCIS, but you also had a long-time, well-known, talented actor and a real leader in Mark Harmon. So,
right.
No offense to the Bloodlines actors, but, you know, they're pretty young yet. Like, say somebody like Jim Beaver had come in, or somebody along the lines of Mark Harmon, you know, that everybody was very familiar with and had been in a lot of shows, and that would be something, you know, like to really anchor the show with a lot of weight.
I agree with that. Yeah, all of the actors that are on the show that we've seen so far are all pretty much new people. You know, they may have been, you know, they're not. Yeah, I agree. And even though I have seen some people complain because the actors were so young, well, I don't agree with that because the actors are older than Jared and Justin were when Supernatural first started. Ennis looks extremely young.
Mm-hmm.
But let me pull up Lucien Mavascount. He's actually, I'm bad with math. He's 24, 92. I'm sorry, I'm terrible at math. He may be younger than that. Hold on. I'm actually having to pull out a calculator. This is how horrible I am. That's why I married a math teacher. Okay, he's 22. So he's the same age that Jared was, you know, even though he looks a whole lot younger, I think. But then, like, Nathaniel Bozalek, doesn't tell how old he is. But they are, you know, they're around the same age or older than Jared and Jensen were.
Mm-hmm.
We're just used to Jared and Jensen now, you know, I think is what it is.
Yeah, and it's funny because Jared and Jensen were similar in that they had some good roles. Jensen had been around longer than Jared, but then they had some good roles, but they were not super well-known either. So it had to be more than just...
And also in the pilot, we had Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yes, who had been around longer. They had Robert Singer. Yeah. They had Eric Kripke. They had a lot. And again, it was just they are something special in their chemistry and relationship on and off the screen. I didn't see that in this show, really. I mean, no offense to anybody there, but I didn't see that yet. And I don't know. And it has not been officially picked up as a series, has it?
No.
CW, I didn't think so.
CW is up front, I think, or in a week, maybe 2 weeks, I'm not sure. But they, you know, they'll be announcing then the pilots that they're, you know, the new shows that they're picking up for next season. So, you know, we don't know yet. If it is picked up, I will definitely watch it. I will give it a chance. I will watch it. I will, you know, because I think there's a lot of room for improvement. It could be really good. You know, it has a lot of potential to it. I mean, it is being created by the same people who gave us Supernatural. So right there is a huge, huge you know, step in the right direction. Yeah. And so I have really, really big hopes for it. And I'm hoping if it's picked up between now and the time they start filming it, you know, they will maybe make some of these corrections that fandom has been talking about. Because there's been lots of talk on the Internet, lots of articles written by bloggers and journalists, you know, about what could be corrected. And I'm hoping they listen and maybe make some of these corrections. And I think something that would really, really, really help is if they do bring, there are so many characters in the Supernatural verse that would make an amazing spinoff show.
And yeah, so why make up so many new ones when you've got at least a few?
Yeah.
I mean, just off the top of my head, Jodi, we just had Tim Rhodes on. I mean, Jodi was she's got a history. She's got a history with Sam and Dean. She's a cop. There's to her. She could decide to make a change in her life and move to Chicago. She could bring Alex with her. There's somebody who's used to dealing with monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And both of them are Garth. Garth, if they want a werewolf family, well, Garth has a werewolf family. So that, you know, he could come. So, and these are characters who, you know, have hit a chord with Supernatural fandom, and the actors are popular. So it would be nice to incorporate that in. The ratings actually came up a little bit for this episode, and I hope that's not the only thing network looks at, because to me that just says people were curious, and it doesn't necessarily translate to quality, or at least it needs work. That's for sure. And I don't want to be a downer the whole time, because like you said, it's our Supernatural crew. And they work really hard, and we always have respect for that, and we appreciate everything they put into this. I mean, like you said, the bar was just gorgeous, you know, and all the filming stuff is great and whatever. But so we do appreciate that, and we always have respect for that, but we have to respectfully disagree with a lot of what happened in that episode, so...
I'm in no way saying I don't want this show. I want the show to tank. I'm not saying I want it to do good. I want to like it. I want to be a huge fan of it, because, you know, anything supernatural, you know, it's part of our Supernatural family. I want it to succeed, and I'm always looking for a show to obsess about. I love obsessing about television. So
why we're here?
Exactly. And even though there was an interview back in the third season when Eric Kripke said Supernatural will never be One Tree Hill with monsters, I kind of get that's what they're doing with this show. I'm glad they're not doing it on Supernatural. You know, if they want to do this type of story, I'm glad they're doing it on a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like soapy shows. You know, I love Scandal. That's a very soapy show. So, you know,
it's just that Supernatural has never been that.
Exactly.
And it's fine. I mean, those guys are great. I think Vampire Diaries does this well. I mean, it's at the very surface, they're both kind of soapy shows with monsters. But, yeah, again, they got a jackpot of chemistry with Ian Somerhalder, Paul Wesley, and Nina Dobrev. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it takes a lot of things together.
I really, really hope it gets better because I really, really want to like it. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it was just because it's a pilot. You have to do so much in a pilot that, mm-hmm. you know, that's pretty much. And also, of course, it was a supernatural episode. So, you know, even though I expected not much of Sam and Dean in it, I expected them not to be there because it's a backdoor pilot, so I expected not much of Sam and Dean. But like you said, when they did show up, it's like, oh, the show just immediately rose in the quality, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It was very, very obvious.
But I was watching and making notes. It's like even when they came in, like the music cues would change and the music would be like, you know, the rock and it would be so badass. And then I just as a comparison, I thought like Ennis was like a Hugo and Sam and Dean are like a Corvette, you know. Total difference there. Even Jensen, when he was on our podcast a few weeks ago, and you can find that podcast at, there's links on our website to all our podcasts, including Jensen, and you can also go to Media Boulevard, blogtalkradio.com/Media Boulevard. It's there, sorry.
I was going to tell the blogtalkradio.com thing.
Oops. And so, yes. Definitely. And anyway, Jensen's podcast is there, and you can listen. And we talked a little bit about the spinoff, and he wasn't exactly 100% on board. I mean, he didn't tear it down, but he said kind of the same things we are, like, why does it need one? And he just didn't sound 100% with it either. So, I mean...
But, of course, that was before they filmed it. So he may have changed. You know, our podcast with him was the day they were first having the read-through, you know, with the actors. So he hadn't even met the actors yet. So he may have changed his mm-hmm. mind later. But at that time,
That's true. I mean, he'd read the script, and that's all he had. And, of course, that's, you know, you only get so much from that. It takes somebody taking the words and, you know, giving them life and personality and character and all that. So, yeah, I've only read that. But anyway, I kind of laughed and then I kind of felt bad because when they were looking through the cupboards and he found, like, you know, the jar of fingers and the bags of meat.
Ah, yeah.
And one of the bags of meat was named Susan. And I was like, aw. That's my name. I felt bad. It's like, oh, I got to take that personally.
They had part two.
I did like Sam introducing Dean saying, that's my brother, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And considering, you know, they've been on the out for a fair amount of the season, it was nice to hear that. So it did, again, remind me that Sam seems to have gone from being angry to being worried and okay. It was like, oh, that's different. So we haven't had too many conversations about why he's changed his thoughts or is directing himself differently, but yeah, it was so nice to hear. But that leads to another bad thing about this. It's like they have so much going on with Metatron, Gadriel, Abaddon, Crowley. There's an angel war coming. Tass has followers. There is so much going on. And then Sam and Dean decide to go to Chicago. And what sounds to me investigate like just a basic kill, odd kill. That's it. They don't know it's monster families or the mob or anything like that. They just decide to go.
No, it was driving me crazy the whole episode trying to figure out the name of the guy who played Freddy Krueger. I went over here to Super Wiki to see who they have, but they have the wrong actor. They say he's played by Gardner Miller, and he's not Gardner Miller. When you go to IMDb page for Gardner Miller, it's not him. So, you know, that's the Gardner Miller guy is from a different Supernatural episode. So if anybody knows the name of the actor who played the Freddy Krueger guy, please tweet us and let us know, because it's driving me crazy trying to figure out who it is. Okay. Because I know I've seen him in 50 million things. He's very familiar.
Yeah, he is. Very much so. Maybe we'd have fell more for him if we knew him better as a character, too. But anyway, we are available for questions and comments and callers tonight. Do you want to take a caller? We do have a caller waiting.
Sure.
Okay. Caller, I'm going to put you on the air. Area code 773. Hello, Winchester Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, am I on podcast?
Yeah. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I've never done this before. I've been looking forward to this podcast for the whole entire week because, of course, you know, I've been comments about the new episode. And, I mean, I agree with it's really hard about this episode because, you know, I've been a dedicated fan for a while. And, you know, it's really hard to stay a true fan when you have a spinoff like this. You know, like, you're conflicted mm-hmm. between loving the characters and then not so much the storyline. So I totally agree with you there. I was actually on set, so I got to see a few of the things we filmed while I was over here. And
cool.
I was glad I didn't catch any spoilers, and it was pretty cool to see them on set. And, you know, I got to talk to Jim and Bob, and, you know, they were really cool and exciting, and everything about it, the whole environment made me feel like, oh, like, this is going to be, like, a hit wonder. Like, this is going to be the one. Like, the whole episode is going to be great. And it was, like, I was kind of sad that it was a little bit of a letdown. So I've been wanting to hear everybody's comments about it. But I agree that, you know, we shouldn't judge an episode off the first episode, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us about what you saw them film and everything.
One of the days I was by, I can't remember his name, was his name Ennis, I think?
Mm-hmm.
I was by his neighborhood, like where they were filming, and even though I didn't catch the boys, I did get to see the Impala, so that was great. I had tweeted that picture, and I blew up the website. I blew up Twitter that one day. And then I got to see Michelle and Bryce. They were on set, and they were filming the flashback scene, which was at Union Station. So that was really exciting to watch from afar.
That's cool.
So it was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, it was really fun to be on set. I had never done it before. But, I'm a big fan, and I wanted to see where this episode is going, and I don't usually like to speak up, you know. Lately I've just been like, oh, well, let's not talk about season 9, but it's like there's so many things that have been wrong with season 9, where it's like, how are we going to cram all these storylines that are going a million different directions into the last 3 episodes? So totally agree with you guys.
So we're about to find out. Last 3 episodes are coming up.
I mean, I just saw
the
press release.
Yeah.
I just saw
the
press release for the season finale, and I was like, oh, a shocking finale. Well, like, gee, you don't say. Like,
yeah.
Well, they can't say anything, really. Probably everything's a spoiler, so it's like, well,
right.
Shocking. Yeah, but that was another thing about this. That was the end of a huge season with a lot of stories, and it took up
yeah.
space that was needed to, I think, carry on the other stories. So it, not only was it weird that Sam and Dean took off to go to deal with a fairly run-of-the-mill monster, the series t- took off a completely different episode when they should have had it earlier if they were going to do it so they could really focus on the season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah,
I feel like season 9 has mostly been filler episodes, and it's like they should have accomplished one thing at a time. So, like, they should have accomplished, like, the storyline with Gudriel or Metatron and, like, maybe the half, like, the mid-season finale and left, like, the Abaddon and, like, Crowley storyline for, like, the finale or something. Like, they should have, like, finished something and closed the storyline instead of, like, having all these million things open to cram to mm-hmm. the last three episodes. So.
Yeah, it's hard, but you know, I watch a couple other shows, and there's another show that has done like the same thing over seasons. Hawaii Five-O, they have a big storyline with WoFat, and they would do a couple of big things, and then do all these episodes all season, like other stuff, and you're like, hello, there's this huge thing, WoFat, evil guy, you know, killed your father, blah, and you don't do anything until like the last episode or two. So they're not the only ones. I think it's just that.
Yeah.
There's a season is 22, 23, sometimes 24 episodes long,
right.
And it's a lot happening. So I think that's just logistics and business, but it is hard sometimes. You're like, there could be a little more story moving along. But
I feel like we set the bar a little higher this year because I feel like season 8 was just so great. You know, I felt like Jeremy Carver was trying to go back to the roots of Supernatural and what, like, the show is truly about. Where, like, you know, season 7 was a little like, well, it was a little bit filler and a little like, where's Cass? You know, season 8 was just great. And then season 9 was just like, oh, like, what are you doing? So I don't know what's going on with the writers. And I see we've gotten some new ones, you know, hearing the podcast from last week for Jody's episode. I was conflicted about that episode, too.
I love that one.
Of course, I always enjoy Jody, and she makes the episodes just even better, but I wasn't too crazy about the writer. But, of course.
Oh, okay. Robert Behrens, he's probably...
Yeah.
We have so many new writers, and Robert Behrens is probably the one I like. He's probably one of the ones I like the best right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few others that I have more other problems with their writing. Not as a person, love them all as people, but you know, with their writing, I have a little bit of problems with sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrew Dabb, who wrote this, I was looking at his list of episodes, and for me, he's all over the place. So he's written some that I'm like, yikes, what were you thinking? Right on to some fantastic, favorite, wonderful episodes for me.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be one for him that I would kind of put lower on the list of episodes that I like from him. So, yeah, he's kind of all over the place for me. I like Robert Behrens very much, and I like Robbie Thompson. Yeah. Jeremy Carver wrote the finale, so.
Oh, good. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It makes you croaky. I think Jeremy Carver and, like, Robert Sr. are, like, my favorites right there.
I think my favorite writers would be Eric Kripke, Sarah Gamble, and Jeremy Carver. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course,
Sarah.
Robbie. Yes. I miss Sarah, too.
Mm-hmm. I like Sarah a lot, but I think it was Rael Tucker when they wrote together. I think that was their best time.
I love
her. She was amazing. Yeah. I think the two of them, yeah. Sarah, she was another one who was all over the place for me sometimes, especially towards the end. And
she wrote some great Dusty
Outline. Sorry?
I said she wrote some great Dusty Outlines into the show. Like, I couldn't remember when she wrote the part about the bees on Cass when he was naked or something like that. Could have sworn that was her. Who snuck it in there?
Was more crazy than anything. Crazy Cass.
She always wrote a lot of good Sam episodes. She was like a Sam girl, and as a fellow Sam girl, I really, really appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, she also loved Dean, too. I mean, she would write, and then she'd go, oh, Jensen's so great. He'll just do everything with this. And then, you know, she in her commentary on the DVDs, you know, she did too. So I think she was a bit of a fangirl as well as
she was,
you know,
she
being
was.
Supernatural
great.
Writer and producer and all that. So yeah, some really great stuff. John Scheiben wrote some great episodes in the past too.
Yeah, he was great.
A little while.
Loved him on X-Files and then on Supernatural. I miss the older writers, the ones we had back in the early seasons. I really miss them.
I wish they could come back because it's been a while. It's been several years, and maybe they're like, if they needed a break, maybe this has been enough of a break, and maybe they would come back and, you know, write a script here and there. That would be really cool.
Another thing I wanted to say was I was on Tumblr, after the night it had aired, and I liked how people were comparing, you know, the episode with older episodes, like the famous line, "I was there, where were you?" And people were like, "Oh my God, like that line has already been said. You can't use that." And how I forgot the girl's name in the show. I think her real name is Michelle or Melissa, is it? How she was wearing a trench coat and people were like, "Oh, so she's like the female version of Castiel."
Yeah, that was weird. It's like, don't use iconic lines or iconic clothes.
Yeah, because I think you said another one before the
copying.
When the podcast started, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was all I wanted to say, and I'll let someone call in now.
Oh,
thanks for calling. You had a lot of great
thank you.
Info and comments.
Yeah,
really
thanks for having me. Bye.
Call back anytime.
Yep.
Fun.
And someone who was actually there.
That was fun. She was there. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, except that was not our baby. That was not the original Impala from the show. It was a fan Impala, and it looked fantastic. And they could not bring the actual Impala with the whole weapons trunk. They could not ship it over. The budget couldn't take it, and it's also possible, you know, through customs and everything with all the weapons and whatever. So they have a fan, and I want to mention her name, Lisa Diamond. That Impala belongs to her, and she very lovingly restored it and made it just like a Sam and Dean's Impala, and I think she needed a few things, and other fans helped her finish, and
yeah,
I thought that was really...
There were several fans who donated some weapons for the weapons trunk, and I also, this reminds me of something that I meant to mention last week with Kim Rose, and I forgot to mention it. I want to mention it now. Winchester Radio, we are now sponsored by So Geek Austin. They are a great website, fan website that you can go to for all of your, and this, I love this, handmade geekery. They have some great things for all kinds of fandoms, Supernatural, Doctor Who, Sherlock, Holmes, you know, all kinds of different fandoms. They have really great jewelry, scarves, bags, artwork. They're really, really great. Check them out. You can, their link is on our homepage at winchesterbros.com over on the right. It'll be a big pink square that says So Geek Austin. Check them out. They rock.
Yep.
And the reason why it reminds me of her, she created, and Claudia, who runs So Geek Austin, created a box that was used in the trunk, the one that keeps the silver bullet. And she made a replica of the one that's in the actual Impala weapons trunk. And she donated
cool.
it there. And she, I believe she also made, I could be wrong, but I believe she also made the Dreamcatcher.
Yes, Claudia made the bullet box and the Dreamcatcher and the evil eye beads that hang near
cool.
the Dreamcatcher. Yes, and I have to thank Lynn from Fangasm because she wrote all that up, and I remember it, but she put all the details in one place, so I'm borrowing from there.
And,
so I have to say where I'm reading it.
Cliff also tweeted it. He tweeted a big thanks to everybody who you know, and what they donated. So if you go to at Bodyguard for J&J, and I think it's his latest tweet, and you'll see a list there of who he thanked for sending in items for the trunk.
That is very cool. Another sign of Supernatural family coming together to help out the show,
right?
And each other to you know, get this done and have it look just right. I mean, how cool. How cool. We have other callers, so shall we take the next one?
Sure.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
You're on the air. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, that's totally cool. Name's Liz, in case you're interested.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Yo. Okay, you guys have, like, totally touched on a lot of the things that I had to say concerning the episode about the actors, the storyline. For me, I've been watching TV for, like, decades, right? And for me, a lot of things for shows like this, episodic shows with a ongoing storyline that builds and evolves, I'm very much into continuity. That also comes from being a wrestling fan as well. And one of my problems, and when I say one, that means that there are a whole lot more. One of my problems was, and something you touched on, the ignoring of the lore of the monsters. The whole thing with the shapeshifter, the brother, when he came in and did the whole rub his hand over his hair and change the thing, and then trying to explain that as it's some kind of a bloodline thing or the purity thing, and that can't be. Mainly because we know from the episode Two Men and a Baby that the alpha shifter created babies, and not one of them had his ability, his, it, she, whatever, ability to just transform at will or, you know, instantaneously without shedding skin. So to have that ability just be part of some random group of vampires. And I don't care if they're a family of vampires, just goes against the whole lore and kind of, in its own way, diminishes the importance and uniqueness of the alpha vampire himself. Alpha shifter himself. The same thing with the whole werewolf thing. Though they did introduce that with the Garth episode. Sort of, I guess. I still have a problem with that, but, you know, that's not here or there. Another aspect of ignoring the lore that bothered me was, and I hope you guys don't mind me just, like, going on like this, was the, what was it called, the djinn that they were working with, indicating that there is a, quote-unquote, family of djinn, in Chicago, like the rest of the mafia families, when we all know that the djinns, and we saw this even with the variation djinn, the one with the blue hand, that they're all still solitary creatures. They don't do the family thing for the most part, not like the big, you know, family that you would find in a mafia thing. And I think
that one, I would say that we have seen djinn families on Supernatural. That one, you know, the others I completely agree with, but I will point out that we did, it was in...
Well, you're talking about the first episode in Main Street, Exile on Main Street.
Yeah.
First episode of season six.
That family, they were the family of the djinn that Sam and Dina killed previously.
Yeah, but so, they just to you know, latch onto that, they were together based on their need to avenge their father. You see what I'm saying? That didn't mean that they hung out together. That didn't mean they lived together in the same place. They were together for a mutual purpose to get back at the people who killed their father. It's like with the ghouls from the episode that introduced Adam. What was it? Jumping the Shark?
Yeah, uh-huh. I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a saying coming together of monsters for a purpose, a limited purpose. I didn't see the family that went after Dean and Lisa and Sam and them as being like, oh, we hang out together, we live together, we go to school together, we work together, as something as a regular thing for them. Even though, Samuel did point out that unlike the jinn that we saw in what should be, that they were far different from their own father in that they didn't look as exotic as he did, and they could pass as human. That did not in any way, in the story at least, seem to say that their basic nature was different from any other djinn. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I personally didn't have, you know, the little bit we saw of the djinn, I didn't have a problem with what they were doing there because we didn't really learn anything about it. So I didn't have a problem with the djinn. I had problems with the shapeshifters and the werewolf. But we didn't learn enough for me to know if anything was wrong with the djinn lore or not.
Yeah, and that is another issue I had with the episode itself. Now, I've heard you guys use the term tonight, backdoor pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I have to honestly say I've never heard that term before. But when you explained it, I know I've seen it done before. I just never heard the term before. But in all pilots I've ever experienced, and I'm like in my 50s, all the pilots, or excuse me, spinoffs, let's put it that, spinoffs from other shows, whether they're backdoor or whatever, they've always allowed or presented an explanation, if you will, or a background for the show, even if it's, you know, we have the background the show is spinning off of, but they also give us an explanation of, say, the characters and the situation that that show is going to be involved with. And this episode kind of glossed over so much of that information that I, at least me, could not connect with it, whether as a supernatural spinoff where they connect to the main mothership, if you will, but also as a show unto itself. If I were to just take this show and you have this cop's kid who I do believe that they indicated that he was a cop, this cop's kid.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and it's his dad was a cop.
Yeah, and I believe that when he was in there being talked to by the other cop, that I got the feeling that he was a cop as well. But anyway, if I was just given it as is, as a show, as a pilot, there I saw nothing that gave me an idea of who Ennis was. I got a little bit more of what the shifter dude was, and for some reason I can't remember his name. Danny?
David,
yeah. I got a little bit more of who David was, but I got almost nothing of what Ennis was. And then they tacked on a whole bunch of other characters and gave us no backstory, no way to connect to understand who they are, what their motivations were beyond the nebulous of she's evil and the werewolf sister is no, excuse me, the shifter sister is evil, and the werewolf brother is a dick. That's all I got out of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't get any flavor or any reason to go back to that pilot.
Well, and with most pilots, and especially with backdoor pilots, you know, they basically all they want to do is introduce the characters, which I thought they did a good job. They introduced us to 50 million characters. I think it was too many.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. You know, they did the introduction. And then if the show's picked up, we will learn all these backstories and reasons and all that. It's just basically to give us a tease, although I didn't like the tease. I didn't necessarily wasn't interested in the tease and the taste that we got.
Yeah.
And
there was a lot going on, and to try to introduce five full families and a history and interaction, that's way too much for one episode, I think. But, it's hard. It's hard to do.
I guess my only other, well, I shouldn't say only other, but the thing that did, I guess, bother me, per se, two things. The predictability of the whole writing of the episode. I sat down, Ennis shows up at the restaurant with his girl, and immediately said, okay, they're going to kill her. And then David shows up, and I'm going to say, okay, this is Romeo, and we're dealing with Romeo and Juliet over here. And his brother probably had something to do with them not being together. And Ennis's father is a hunter, or was a hunter, and he's still alive. I said that near the beginning of the episode. So nothing was surprising, nothing was intriguing, nothing drew me in and said, wow, I'm interested. Where's this going? Because they just seemed to write it as if, okay, we want to just get this out here. This is our sequel. Here it is. Here's the characters. This is the nebulous idea about it, and hopefully you'll stick around and find out where we're going with it. But you can't do that with a pilot, backdoor otherwise, because people are going to say, I'm not interested. It's not enough there. It's like writing a book. They will tell you if you're going to catch people with a book, you have to catch them in the first paragraph or the first page of a book. If you do not catch people with the first page of a book, they're not going to read the rest of the book. And that's how I feel with this pilot. They didn't catch me with the first episode. And as much as I love Supernatural, and as you can tell, I love Supernatural to the point of being a nitpicker. Now, I'm also a consumer, and I've been watching TV for a long time, and I do not watch a show just because of its relationship to another show. I have a feeling, and this is the part where I feel kind of insulted, is they put this out, and they expect the Supernatural fandom / family to just jump to it and watch it and follow it just because this loose connection to Sam and Dean.
Well, that's what they're hoping. You know, I mean, they hope that's what the odds are, because they know how dedicated and loyal the Supernatural family is, but they have to hold up their end of the bargain too.
Exactly.
Because the original Supernatural is totally something worthwhile supporting, you know, forever, or as much as you possibly can and feel right, but you can't just expect them to move to a brand new show. You just can't take it for granted. I don't think most of them are, but I think they're hoping that's what it will be, but we'll see.
And you guys touched up on my other big issue with doing a spinoff in Supernatural, and I have been saying this since I heard they were doing a spinoff. That was, back in the beginning of this year, or excuse me, back in the beginning of last year, they were talking about the fact that they were going to do a spinoff. And I pretty much said, if you're going to do a spinoff, it better be a spinoff, not with any of these new characters that you guys were introducing, like the werewolf chick from, what was it, Bite or Bitten or whatever the heck it's called, or, you know, that witch dude with his familiar dog. It's got to be somebody who is really and truly connected to Supernatural. You bring back Bobby. You follow, and you guys pointed out, follow Jody. Now that Jody's got a kid, there's a story right, there's a spin-off possibility right there. Not that I'm a big fan of Garth per se, but you've got the Garth situation. You have Freaks and Geeks. What's her name?
Oh, Chrissy?
Yeah. Her and her group.
No.
They're a spinoff.
No. Huh? I don't want them as a spinoff. Anybody else you mentioned, I'd be great, but not Chrissy and her group. I don't like them.
Yeah, I understand, and like I said, I don't like Goth, but you guys were willing to go with Goth. I'm not a big fan of Chrissy either, but I'm saying it had more of a spin-off nature to it than what we got here. Because Chrissy, despite the being, in fact, she is one of those new people introduced per se, she still has more of a connection to Supernatural, and she still has a feel Supernatural-wise. Hell, you could bring Jody into that family, and then you've got it right there. Or you reach even further back, and you bring back Gabriel. Or for me, a little, you know, off the wall for some people, or stretching the envelope, bring in Ruby One. I personally believe Ruby One and Ruby Two were two separate demons. You can reintroduce Ruby One. I think the actress was wonderful. Any number of ways.
She's kind of busy.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
She's on Arrow.
I
didn't know that.
I like her as Ruby. She's kind of busy, though. She's on Arrow.
I did.
Laurel Lance.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well,
that's
you see what I'm getting at.
Show.
If you're going to do a spinoff of Supernatural, you really should use somebody from the Supernatural who isn't busy at the moment. that would have actually, one, given you a flavor of Supernatural, two, been more loyal to the fans and the nature of Supernatural, and it wouldn't feel like you were trying to build, I don't know, dynasty in a supernatural world. Another description I gave of the show is dynasty with fangs. And I guess the last thing I wanted to touch on, if you don't mind me jumping a bit, you guys had mentioned for the feeling you've had for this season, how they've crammed so much into this one season here. And I was thinking that Carver seems to be having the same problem that Sarah Gamble had with seasons 6 and 7. She had a lot of great concepts and ideas that could have stretched out into her own 5-season span, dealing with Sam coming back, Dean getting back into hunting. That could have been a whole season. Finding out there's something wrong with Sam and that something's going on with Cassiel could have been its own season. Then finding out, well, Sam's his oldest. Season 8 could have been dealing with finding Sam's soul and dealing with Sam being soulless. I mean, personally, I would have loved to have seen a whole season of Sam's soullessness as opposed to just 2 or 3 episodes. Then you can go, like I said, she could have done 5 seasons with all the stuff that she had within the 2 seasons that she got. Same thing with Carver. Carver's got tons of things going on at once, and he's squishing them into these 2 seasons, which is like he's got this fear of the show being canceled, and he's trying to jam it all in.
I'm sorry, I disagree.
I don't think so.
I think it's just, like I said, typical of shows where there's a lot of episodes and they sometimes have to sort of stretch out an arc. And, you know, I really want to thank you so much for calling, but we have some other callers waiting, and I appreciate you calling back.
Thanks for hearing me. Thanks for allowing me to, like, you know, get my things out there.
We're very happy you called. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have got another caller waiting. Yes, we do. Going to let them on, and I have another point I don't want to forget about after this call. Hello, caller. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
This is my first time, so might not be too good at this, but I miss the good old days where they got calls on cases, like the one case with the clown back when Joe and Ellen were still around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I miss that. I wish they'd still throw that in there once in a while, that they get calls like that.
I agree with you, especially, mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched the TNT marathon today. I don't know.
I didn't get to.
Okay, well, they mainly showed episodes from the first three seasons. And watching those, it's like, oh, I miss these days. These were the good old days, you know.
Yeah, so. It's like, even if you don't do it a lot, just once in a while, I'll just throw it in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, like, okay, I'm bringing it back a few episodes, but, like, Gabriel, when Metatron acted like Gabriel was still there, I was so happy. Like, I miss Gabriel.
Right.
And, like, when Cassiel knew, like, that it was a trick, I was like, really? Are you serious? Why couldn't he, like, still be here? And I found a bunch of spoilers that, like, he was supposed to be coming back, and I got, like, I was, like, just waiting for the episode, and now I'm kind of bummed. I wish they actually would have brought him back for good, even for just a little bit.
I agree with you. I was disappointed as well. It's like, you know, we get the awesome Richard Spate back, and, you know, the trickster Gabriel is such an amazing character, yet we don't know if he was the real one or not. You know, we don't know. So, yeah, it was disappointing.
And, like, when Violet from this episode got, like, tied up, when I looked at it, I could, like, my first thought is, it's not actually Silver, is it? It doesn't look like Silver. Try and break out of it. Like, since they, like, could know when they were changing, like, since she knows, then maybe she could, like, break out, because that's exactly what I said. It's like, why don't you try and break out? You could probably get out. It doesn't look like Silver.
Yeah, that's what I said. Why'd you wait so long? It didn't make any sense
plus,
to me.
Like, you would be able to tell because she had, like, short sleeves on, so it would have been burning her skin if it was silver, and it wasn't. So that's just what I caught on to.
One of many things.
Yes. This episode was crazy. As soon as I saw, like, the sneak peek for this episode, I was like, that reminds me of Freddy Krueger, so I was kind of glad I wasn't the only one that thought that. And, like,
yeah, definitely. Do you know the name of the actor who played him? It's driving me crazy. Would you happen to know his name?
No.
Oh, darn.
I feel like I've seen him before, but, like, I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I've definitely seen him before, and it's driving me crazy.
I know I've seen him, like, for a fact. I know I've seen him. Definitely. I think his last name is Miller or something.
On Super Wiki, they have him listed as a Miller guy, but IMDb account for that Miller guy is not that guy. The picture they have is not him. So I don't know who it is.
Yeah. And, like, I miss Castiel. Like, there's so much stuff going on with Castiel right now. And mm-hmm. when they take a few episodes off from showing him or, like, take an episode off, I'm like, well, I want to know because he's, like, getting into this huge battle with Metatron. So it's like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the sign of everything
off.
That's going on.
I found
yeah.
him, honey. I found him.
The guy. Thank God. Who is it?
His name is Michael Rogers. On IMDb, they have him listed as Irv. He was in, this is why we know him, he was in the Magnificent Seven episode. He was the bartender. He was Gluttony.
That's where I saw him from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that makes
goodness.
Sense.
He's also been on basically every show ever in Vancouver. Bates Motel, Arrow, The Killing, Falling Fringe, Continuum. Basically,
yeah.
if it feels
wow.
like Vancouver, he's been in it.
I'm just so disappointed because I, like, watch a bunch of these shows, like Bates Motel. I watched that, and I just, it didn't click.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and he was in two episodes of X-Files, Susan, so Colony
no.
and Fallen Angel.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I'm really disappointed in myself for not knowing that.
I knew he was familiar.
And like,
oh, thank God. I feel much better now.
I know. It's like
yeah.
the weight was off your shoulder.
Now I can sleep tonight.
But, like, at the end of the episode, I think it was the shapeshifter leader. It seemed like Margot, I think her name was. Was
mm-hmm.
that her name? Yeah, her?
Yeah.
I didn't understand why she wanted to start a war so bad. Like, she was so eager to start a war, and then when he said it wasn't, like, the werewolves that did it, she acted happy, like, oh, yay, we got the guys, but you could tell she wasn't happy. And then, like, when her, I think it was, like, kind of like her brother that came back or something, like the...
Mm-hmm. David?
When he joined the family back, yeah, him, she seemed too happy about that. So, I wonder what they were trying to do with that.
Yeah, she seemed to me to be the type of person who's power hungry, and I think she basically, from what I got, is she's ready, you know, she's probably happy that her brother got killed because she can use that as an excuse to start the war with the werewolves.
Yeah.
And she probably wants to kill them, and then that would move her one more step up the ladder to the top.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Like,
mm-hmm.
she seemed like the one that was, like, the most crazy, or, like you said, power hungry. Like, she would do anything to get that power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, much.
But, like, the whole Jin thing, like, they didn't get much into that, which I was kind of disappointed because we've only seen a few episodes with them in it. So it would have been nice to kind of get more into the Jin.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen it at one part.
If the show is picked up by the CW as the series, then I'm guessing we'll see a lot more of the Jin because I'm thinking they'll go into all five of the big monster families, and with the Jin being one of them, I'm guessing we'll see a lot more of them then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, like, I've heard a lot that, like, they confirmed for a season 10.
Yeah, Supernatural. Yeah,
yeah, I thought
mm-hmm.
so. Well, probably since they did that, since they only showed a little bit of, like, each of the families, they probably might get into that more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be interesting because David, I really liked him. Like, he was probably one of my favorite characters from that episode. Like, that would just kind of pop in for a few episodes or an episode. I liked him.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I like the actor from the other things that I've seen him in, Pretty Little Liars and the Originals and things. He was really good in those.
Yeah, he's,
mm-hmm.
like, a really good actor. And, like, I liked how he was, like, even though, I mean, I know she's loved Turtle, but, like, even though she was a widower, he still was so kind to her and, like, so kind to the family, even though they don't like him and his family doesn't like their family, that he was actually willing to run away with her. That was kind of sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. But yeah, it would have been nice if we got more into the backstories, like a few of the other callers have said. But, yeah, other than that, I think it was a pretty good episode.
Mm.
Well, I was kind of bored with it, like I said earlier, but I'm looking forward, if it's picked up, I'm looking forward to seeing what else they can do with it. Because I think it has a lot of potential.
Yeah. That's really all I had to say.
Well,
those
were
very good
comments.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Her voice reminded me of a past podcast co-host we had.
Mm-hmm.
She sounded a lot like a past co-host. So I was like, hey, that voice is familiar, but it wasn't her.
No. Funny, all our callers were first time callers to podcasts.
Yeah,
a lot of
fun. Yeah, cool. I loved listening, talking to newbies. It's great when we're getting new callers after being on the air for so long.
Yeah. Okay, so the thing I wanted to mention, and it just made me crazy when I was watching it, Violet's been kidnapped, and they're trying to find her and figure out what to do. And Ennis, no hunter Ennis, tells Sam, who's been hunting since he was, six, little kid, says, we can track Violet with her GPS on her cell. And the way Sam reacts is like, oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh,
That's one thing I don't like is when they change a character's history and characteristics that you know very well that they're not something they're not, and they make them appear dumb or not have the knowledge to make the other character look like they know what they're doing. It makes me nuts.
It's not like we haven't seen Sam and Dean 50 million times track people by their GPS on their phones.
They track each other by their cell phones.
Yes, exactly.
They track everyone by their cell phone. This is the one thing that used to make me crazy over in the third season, who they built her up and made her look such a great hunter and talented, and she could fool them by making Sam and Dean say things and do things that were dumb and stuff they would never do otherwise. And, I don't like that. And I could not believe Ennis tells Sam, we can track her by her cell phone. And Sam's like, wow, like I've never thought of that before.
Yeah. I wish he'd have said, really? I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, it's like, you think?
Dumbass, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Dumbass. I've been tracking all of us on the cell phone.
Right.
The whole time, so, yeah. And then someone called Dean Buffy. No, I'm surprised you did that and lived through it.
And I like Sam kind of was like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
The Sam and Dean that we got in, it was really good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was one point where Sam's hair was just blowing in the wind. It looked beautiful.
Sam hair report.
Yep, Sam Winchester hair report returns.
I'm happy to report it's still long and beautiful. And speaking of hair, Dean had kind of a strange haircut. Do you notice it's almost military? Really, really super, super short on the side. Yeah, very different.
I also, one of my favorite moments in the episode was when Sam and Dean first show up, the very first scene they're in, and they go to the interrogation room at the police station to talk to Ennis. And Stephen Martinez's character, the policeman guy, he asked him, since when does the Biebs or whatever interested in a whatever that he said. And Dean says to him, says, well, the perp master's a profile, and I can give you all the details, but I'm not. and he just walks away. And I
shut the
that.
Door.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, and that right there in a nutshell is the difference between Sam and Dean and the other characters.
Exactly.
In that
particular
episode. Right there. I could give the details to you, but I'm not.
Bad end of story.
Yep. I like Sam made comments about hunting, and said, once you're in, it's difficult to get out, and you're in this, and it'll mess you up. And it's true. It's not like Sam was really complaining. He's just stating the facts, basically.
Yeah.
He knows all too well. And that was sad.
And along that same lines, I liked at the beginning when Sam and Dean saved Ennis's life in the bar, and, Ennis is wanting to know the whole story. And Dean, tells Sam, he says, Sammy, give him the talk. I like that.
Yep. I was like, okay, here we go.
And I like how Sam described himself. He's like, basically, we hunt evil and we cut its head off. I was like, that's a great line. I like that.
Yes.
So, there were many good things about the episode. It's just the majority, the negativity overweighs the positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they do pick it up, I will give it a chance. I'll watch again. It's really hard to get everything done, and they're just getting started. So we'll see where it goes, and hopefully it'll improve if they do keep it.
Yeah, I've got hopes.
Decide not to go forward. I'll be okay with that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Is there anything else about Bloodlines we should talk about?
Geez. I can't think of anything right off the bat. I think we pretty much covered it. If I think of anything else, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a surprising amount of time about this episode.
More than I expected that we would. Yeah.
I mean, huge fans of it. You mentioned there was a marathon on TNT today, and this is the third one on a Friday in a row, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
TNT. Thank you.
That reminds me, I forgot to send out TNT a thank you tweet. I have to do that in a little bit. TNT, they've been great. I mean, not only have they done the Supernatural marathons for the last 3 weeks, but they've been really promoting them really well online with their tweets. They're tweeting along with our, because I happen to have had the last three Fridays off from work, so I've been live tweeting it with our Twitter account. And they've been really great about retweeting our tweets. They follow us now. And, so we started the hashtag this morning, hashtag TNT Sam B-Day, because today also is Sam Winchester's birthday, May the 2nd. Happy birthday, Sam Winchester, wherever you are.
Happy birthday, Sam.
So,
Sammy.
So, right. So this morning I was like, the other day when we noticed that TNT's marathon today was pretty much Sam-centered episodes. It's like, wow, somebody at TNT knows that today is Sam's birthday. And So we said, you know, we'd use the hashtag TNT Stan B-Day. TNT went along with it. They actually used that. They used our hashtag with their tweets, which I thought was amazing. And
that's amazing.
It's just so cool because TNT is a, I don't know, those not in the United States, you know, might not know of TNT, but it's a national channel that has, you know, a lot of original programming, leverage, great show, you know, aired on TNT, lots of great shows. And the fact that they used our hashtag was, you know, I thought that was a huge compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they tweet with fans, you know, they tweet with the Supernatural fans about the marathons. I just think whoever is at TNT, we love you. You guys are awesome.
Yes,
and
they say, well, we know drama and Supernatural is a drama. So, that's so cool. And I think any really smart, savvy network or publication media really knows to take to Twitter because it's such a quick of the moment reaction. You can ask a question, get an answer, and if they're smart, they pay attention. You know, they whatever they're doing, they really know what they're watching and they're promoting. And so sometimes I think they have like a real honest to God viewer or fan on there because of TNT Today for them. And then we have the lovely person who handles the Olive Garden Twitter. Sam and Dean and how Sam likes a salad and he would love our, you know, salad bowl and all that. So, yeah, I think that's really, really cool. So, very happy.
And today we even hashtag TNT Sam B-Day actually trended on Twitter for a little while, which was really cool. So, yeah, it was a really great day. Gina Holden, the actress who plays Haley in Wendigo, she tweeted to us during the marathon because we mentioned her, and so she replied back. It was great. Spencer Garrett, who plays Mr. God, the Christmas God, in A Very Supernatural Christmas, he's been awesome. He not only tweeted to us, he's been tweeting some really fun things. We tweeted to him about how great he was in the episode, and he replied back. Let me see if I can find it.
He was great in that episode. He's in a lot of things, and he's just wonderful, but he'll always be the Christmas pagan god to me.
Yes, exactly. And I'm trying to find he had a really great response to our tweet. Where is it? Oh, he says, "Thanks, guys. Had a blast working on the show. Will probably never be killed by a Christmas tree in my career again. Peanut brittle," said Mark. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he even started tweeting with other fans. And, he's wanting to get up to 1,000 followers. So if you're on Twitter, follow Spencer. His Twitter is @ one, the number one, Spencer Garrett, SpencerGarrett. Follow him. He's just as cool as the Christmas God was on Very Supernatural Christmas. He's great. Just follow him and check out his tweets.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. I hope he gets his 1,000 followers. He mentioned some kind of prize or something to make it happen. Who knows?
It'd probably be some, fruitcake or something, you know. Who knows?
That would be great, maybe.
right?
Yeah. Fruitcake. Peanut brittle, definitely. But fruitcake, not so much.
Oh, sorry, my barking again. I apologize. Whenever my family comes home, she has to bark.
Lily's guest starred on the podcast quite often recently.
Yeah, this is true.
No, that's okay. Hey, it's live. We're happy to have Lily.
She's barking I think she's barking at a cat outside, I think.
Oh. She's very cute. You know,
one of my all-time favorite pictures of her is when she's wearing her divine cap that you put on her divine experience.
And for those listening who don't know about my dog, Lily's just a little bitty, 4.5 pounds, little white chihuahua. She's tiny, but she's got a very loud voice.
Yep. I'm sure she thinks she's a Rottweiler.
She really does. We have a cat, Big Bob. You've seen the pictures of Bob. We've got a ginormous cat, yellow cat. If you know the cat in Hunter I, Heroic I, that talks to Castiel, he looks like him. And he's about 4 times Lily's size. But Lily, you know, if Bob gets around Lily's food, boy, she will eat him up. It's crazy.
Cute. Bob. Well, if Cass comes to your house, he can interrogate Bob.
Right.
We have another new episode this coming. We have 3 more episodes. And for people who don't even like to know titles, I'm about to say the title of the next episode, and that is King of the Damned. And it's totally seems like from the preview we are absolutely just going to get right into the entire Metatron Crowley Abaddon storyline that we've just been waiting to get back to. And there are some very interesting looking moments in that preview. So I don't know, do we want to talk about that a little bit, or are we good, or what would you like to do?
That's perfectly fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that Crowley and Abaddon were in the same room and they were both still alive. in that preview. So I was like, what are they up to? You know, demons, you can't trust them. So, and they get the first.
There's a good question in our chat room over on our Blog Talk Radio page. Dean128 asks, do you think the Metatron storyline will end this season or continue into season 10? I'm hoping it ends because, you know, it started last season and, it's been going all season long. I'm really hoping it ends and we can have another, a different thing going on next season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I don't mind if it leads to another bad guy or leads to another story, but I'm good if Metatron's part ends. I mean, it's okay to have something else. But yeah, I hope it wraps up. Like you said, it's been going on a long time. And it's been really good, really enjoyable. Curtis Armstrong's been just amazing.
Oh, yeah, he is. So, he's great.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm okay with moving on. Now, would you want Gadriel to end as well? I mean, we didn't see him quite as much.
I would. I think the whole angel war fight thing has been going on for so long, since what, season 6? You know, we've had the whole angel war going on. And, you know, as much as I love Castiel, I'm ready to move on to a different storyline. You know, Castiel can help Sam and Dean fight something else. Because we've had the whole Angel War thing, like I said, going on since the 6th season. And even though back then, you know, we just mainly heard talk and things, but, you know, there was Castiel fighting with Raphael for forever. And, you know, it's just, and then there was Naomi and then Metatron. And it's like, I'm ready to move on to some other kind of supernatural character.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it's progressed pretty well. I mean, we've had Cass go through all sorts of transformations and see things from all different sides, from being good guy, bad guy, god, Leviathan,
human.
Human, all of those things. So I like that. And I did see a little bit about the season finale. I mean, it's all very vague, the description and whatever, so they're not going to give away much. But Jeremy Carver did say that at the very end, Sam and Dean and Kaz were all going to be in a situation they'd not faced before. I'm like, wow, what could that be? Because they've been through a lot. And even he said, you know, after 9 seasons, it's hard to come up with something nobody's been through yet. And I'm like, I wonder.
Yeah, it's very, very curious. I don't know. I'm hoping it's as good as it sounds. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's really exciting. I'm hoping it's not like, that's what it was. We stayed that 50 million times.
Yeah, I mean, I want the season to finish as just as amazing as last season, you know, with the angels falling.
Right, right. Oh,
and
God,
the whole,
such a thing.
Yes, and the scene when sacrifice and Sam. And since we do have Dean with the mark of Cain, kind of a similar journey, seen for lots of, you know, trauma and angst and emotional scenes and brothers and action and everything. So hopefully it will all come together.
Lily, shut up, Lily. I'm sorry. my son came in, so she has to bark.
Speaking of the mark of Cain, we do see Dean almost look like he's, like, collapsing. He looks at his arm, and the mark is very red, and he kind of collapses back. So I wonder what's happening there. And they hid the first blade in a corpse, which is really icky. Good hiding place.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks really good. I'm very excited about it. It looks like it's going to be a really good episode.
Yes. King of the Dam, then Stairway to Heaven. Just kind of self-explanatory since we Heaven is figuring big into this season. And then the finale episode is titled Do You Believe in Miracles?
Yeah, that's an interesting title.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more news? Any more comments? Questions?
I'm thinking. I can't think of anything. I'm sure as soon as you get off the air, I'll have 50 million.
Yeah.
yep.
Well, there's a convention this weekend, so definitely
follow along.
Yeah, I
was going to say Vinny. Yep. Vinny is at the DC Con, so she'll be tweeting just on our Winchester Bros account from the convention this weekend. So there'll probably be lots of information come out there.
Really interesting to hear what Jensen and Jared have to say on Sunday. Hopefully folks will ask them about the pilot and the season and kind of what's been going on with Sam and Dean. Maybe we'll get something new, some answers. Of course, they can't be too forthcoming because there's still 3 episodes to go, but maybe we'll get a hint.
So much to think about.
Yes, and we'll have a nice long summer hiatus.
Right. Then we'll figure
out where we're going.
I'm sure however the season ends, it's going to leave us all summer, but I'm like, oh, I can't, I'm ready. I can't stand it anymore.
I know. Well, we had a good time, surprisingly, talking about Bloodlines. We got some good calls and good comments. We thank them all very much for listening, everybody for listening and for calling in. We appreciate it very much. Our podcast will always, you can always find out all the information about our podcast, Winchester Radio, on our website, winchesterbros.com. There are always, there's a link to the current one on the side on the homepage, and then it has its entire place on the website with all of our podcasts from the beginning. We started in 3rd season there's a lot there, lots of guests, as many episodes as from third season. And we went back to first and second a little bit here and there. You can find out all the news on our site, and you can also check our Facebook and Twitter. In both places, we are Winchester Bros. You can follow us and like us, and there's already a lot of wonderful fans following and liking us, and we appreciate that very, very much. You can subscribe and download us through iTunes as well. And I think that's it.
Yep, I think it sounds good.
Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll say so long for now. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.